Hey, America, you have found it. It's the Loftus Party. We got a big show. So much to talk about this week. So much. It's a little different. We got a little curveball. Of course, we're joined again by the one and only Liberty Gypsy. I don't know where you've parked your caravan this week, but hopefully somewhere great. How's it going, Stace?
It's going very well, thank you. Interesting week for sure.
Yes, yeah. We got the inauguration of Donald Trump. We've got protesters in the street. We got women's marches. We've got so much stuff. And we're joined by a buddy of mine here in the studio, here in my Long Island studio. We got Pete Corriale. Pete, how's it going?
What's up? I'm finally a guest.
Finally.
Been looking forward to being on this puppy for a while, man.
All right. So just a little history for the folks. You have a very successful podcast. Okay. You and some other guy. I don't know his name.
Sebastian Maniscalco. Pete and Sebastian show. Yeah.
Now, Pete and Sebastian how long show. Have you guys been doing that?
About 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's one episode a week?
We tried two for a while, and then that became crazy, and then we started doing one, and even that, you know, it gets tough, but, that's what we do.
All right, full disclosure, Stacy, Liberty Gypsy, Pete and I met, we were both hired to tell jokes for Jameson Irish Whiskey.
Yes.
We traveled the country, with a dude named Billy Gardell, who you might know from Mike and Molly, Steve Byrne. From, what was his show? Steve's Place?
Sullivan and Son. Yeah.
So, Pete and I would fly around the country, drink a lot of whiskey, and tell jokes and have a good time. And now, more full disclosure, we're both writing on this Kevin James show.
Which is awesome.
Yes. Now, yeah. I have to say, when we used to do the whiskey tour, which is when I met Loftus, you know when you meet somebody and you just click? I mean, we used to go to the bars afterwards and hang out. And I have to say, I was driving the other day in my car. And I don't know if you want to get into it now, but nevertheless, if I could make a comedy album of the best stories ever told to me over beers in a bar, one in the middle of that album would be Lofty telling me about writing jokes for David Copperfield. And David Copperfield shortchanging Lofty on cash, trying to prorate it, paying him per act.
Yeah.
We were in San Fran. Me and you got there a night early. You told me that story at the bar. I never forgot. It's one of my favorite stories ever told at a bar.
Yeah.
First of all, I never heard David Copperfield tell a joke. And
well,
second
here's
of all,
the deal. The abridged version is David Copperfield, he gets volunteers out of the audience, and it takes a lot of time for the volunteers to come up, so he just needed patter. That's what I was writing for him.
Yeah, but first you go, I have to say, to see the show, and you were saying, like, his stand-up in between.
I'm not going to disparage David Copperfield.
I know, but you're saying it needed some work, that's
it,
all.
It needed a little
it
work.
Needed a little punch-up.
Dave, he's a great magician, not the best stand-up.
Right.
Not the best stand-up. So anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, back to the whole Jameson whiskey tour. I know you're Irish, Michael. Does that mean Pete is as well?
I don't know. What's your background?
Half Irish, half Italian.
There you go.
So he likes to drink whiskey and eat pasta.
Yeah, the ironic part, can I say where we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, writing for the Kevin James show, Lofty has an apartment out in Levittown. And right around the corner from here is where my parents went to high school. I didn't grow up out here. I mean, I didn't grow up here, but this is right here. This is the heart of World War II, Irish, Italian, Levitt houses, where you get the free TV if you buy the house. Everybody's Irish and Italian.
I like to live in historic places.
Yeah, this is Irish and Italian.
So wait, you grew up around here, so you've been here for the 4th of July, obviously.
Oh yeah, we do it just like this.
It's the most amazing 4th of July. This year, this 4th of July, I'm going to take video. I'm going to take video and post it because I don't think the rest of America will believe it. Yeah. It is the most patriotic. Everybody's got their flags out. The fireworks displays start the instant the sun goes down. They go till 2 in the morning. It's everybody on the street.
And this will be the first year with Big T, baby. It's going to be extra special. We're going to get more fireworks.
All right.
Everyone, wow, wow, wow. You're all going to stop whining when everybody... got more money.
I think you can tell Pete's a little excited about Donald Trump.
Yes.
Just a little.
Stacey, not very excited about Donald Trump. Just, she's got a wait and see attitude, which is helpful.
But that's okay. That's okay.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I just don't get. I don't really understand the whole. I mean, it's as simple as when he went into one handouts. We've been doing that for 30 years. I mean, he opened up his office. We've been doing that for 30 years. I'm going to give you a job. Why don't we try that? So is that such a bad thing?
No, here's the great thing. It's like before the election, we both kind of had theories that everyone was saying, I'm not voting for the guy. He's a menace. He's a menace. He's dangerous. And then when they got behind the curtain, they're going to go, click, yeah. Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course. Who did that? Who, you? Me? Not me. Who, you? We all knew that was going to happen, baby. I'll tell you, by the way, it is official that from now, probably until the end of the history of America, any first lady will always be vying for the second most attractive first lady of all time.
She knocks it out of the park, right?
But she's a supermodel. So what do you say? It's so funny when she's next to Trump. It looks like he's always just coming out of like some sort of movie premiere, right?
Don't you want to know what she's thinking?
No. No more than any other of the first ladies. No disrespect. I know they're going to be in the president's ear, and that's fine. Behind every great man, there's an even greater woman. I get that. But we didn't vote for that lady. So it's like, you know, I feel like whether you're a first lady and you decide to do nothing but just be a mother and a supporting wife.
Yeah.
Or whether you have a cause, that should be a personal decision. I don't feel like you're obligated to do
See,
that.
Yeah, I think that started with Eleanor Roosevelt. Right, Stacey? Like, she'd be like,
some other first ladies took very prominent public roles, but I don't think that Melania is going to be in that role. That is Ivanka's role.
Yeah, that's what
I think at the inauguration, you saw about as much of Melania as you are going to see for the next 4 years.
I tell you, somebody posted
a little disheartening.
Not that she won't appear places, but she's not going to be in front of a microphone. She's not going to be a close advisor to her husband. She didn't talk during the campaign at all.
Yeah, barely. I know somebody like reposted like a picture of her naked, you know, laying on some bearskin rug, and they're like, "This is your first lady."
And I'm like, "She's smoking hot."
Oh man.
I mean, I am like. Like, I got no big problem with beautiful people being naked. And I'm like, I got so? Like, that could be on the poster. Yeah. Vote Trump. By the way, you know what the other first lady would have been? A man who there's a blue stained dress from a 19-year-old confused girl. How sad is that? Wouldn't you rather just have a nice hood ornament and Milani? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. They're out there protesting now. What about the woman?
Go ahead, Stacey.
I was just going to say, it cracks me up because somebody actually sent me the same picture. And I said, wait a minute. You all are third wave feminists that sponsor things like slut walks and think a woman should have a right to do anything she wants to do. So what if she posed? Who are you? I mean, this is so contrary to everything else you say that you now have a problem with this.
Yeah, it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall. You know, when Miley Cyrus is out doing a big concert show, I don't freak out when she has a big inflatable dick and she's singing a song. I'm like, okay, she's doing that thing where she's being radical and yay, hooray, go Miley. And then Melania Trump is naked on a rug at a professional photo shoot. And yeah, I got that. That's not the sword cut in both ways. That's just the same sword.
Or Madonna, I'll give you a blowjob if you vote for Hillary. And now we're going to complain about Melania on a bare rug. I mean, the hypocrisy is just real.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did you hear what Madonna said yesterday that everybody's got their panties in a twist about?
No.
Madonna at the Women's March, she says, I've thought a lot about blowing up the White House, but I know that won't solve anything, right? So she's saying violence is not the answer. However, everybody is cherry picking just the first part. Like, Madonna's threatened to blow up the White House. No, she didn't. Like, I can't stand that when people just take a little. It's what I hated when Donald Trump is like, they're talking about Mexicans. They're sending criminals. They're sending drug dealers. They're rapists. Some of them are good people, but like everybody cut off that part where he said some of them are good people to make it, they wanted to frame the arc. Yeah. So I didn't like it when they did it to Trump, and now I don't like it when they're doing it to Madonna.
Yeah.
Well, boom. I mean, it's just, It's crazy the level of hypocrisy. And here's a word that I think we should ban from the English language. I'm not into banning things generally, but this has become really destructive. Nobody can say Nazi anymore.
Oh, I'm going to write a Nazi song at this point.
You're going to write
guitar.
A Nazi song?
I'm thinking about it, like how just everybody's a Nazi.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a Nazi, Trump. I mean, it's just, and then Chris Matthews did it again the other day on MSNBC at Trump's inauguration. He's like, well, that had a real, like, Hitlerian, and I've never heard Hitlerian before, Hitlerian tone to it.
Really?
And it's not even, I said it had a very nationalist, isolationist tone to it. That would be correct. But the U.S. has been nationalist and isolationist before. It's not a new thing. I don't agree with it, but hey, whatever. He got elected into office. But here's Ashley Judd in front of all these throngs of women wearing genitals on their head.
Oh, Ashley.
Oh, my goodness.
And she says, we've traded in, Hitler is in the streets. We have traded in a mustache for a toupee. I'm like, seriously, guys, can we stop with the Hitler stuff? He is the first president ever to take office and support gay marriage. He invited a transgender to his inauguration. His daughter and grandchildren are Jewish. So what does that make Kushner, Ivanka's husband? Does that make him a capo?
Right. It goes back to what we said. We've been saying it on this show for like a month and a half. It's like these people are going to be so bummed out when he's not Hitler.
Yeah.
You know? Oh,
yeah.
And this is the other thing that I want to say publicly. I keep talking about this around the office and stuff. And
can I interject?
Go, please, please.
By the way, with Ashley Judd, she used to be married to the race car driver Dario and Ferretti, something like that. You can Google
it. The Indy car driver.
Yes.
Formula One.
The best there is. And they're no longer together. The last time he won the Indy 500, she went into the circle to give him a hug and a kiss during his moment. And I could tell, as a viewer, not even a race car fan, I'm like, he's not into her. He's trying to get her out of the circle. Look at her. She's dangling. I don't think this is going to last. 3 months later, he dumped her. And I think they went home that night, and he was like, what the fuck? Get out of the circle. So she's off the deep end, all right? The only time she's relevant is when she's at a Kentucky basketball game. That's it.
Yeah. I tell you, it's sad about Ashley Judd.
But I do love her. She's adorable.
She used to be. And then yesterday, she officially fell off the list.
What is
you know, you have that list. I don't know if you and your wife have the list.
And Meryl Streep fell off it when she got a last award.
Oh, we'll get to Meryl.
Not that I want to be with her, but I don't even want to meet her now.
Is Ashley Judd on your list of celebrities you'd like to be with?
She's just my biggest crush of all time, yes.
She would have fallen off your list yesterday.
Really? Well, yeah. She fell off when he pushed her out of the circle. I could tell. It was awkward for everybody.
I think she's mental.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's really, she might have some issues. She needs some medication.
So what's the other point? I want to cut you off. The other point you want to make.
Oh, the point I want to make is here's what's going to drive me crazy. All these people, like the Women's March yesterday, and we got to stop Donald Trump, and he's Hitler, and he's worse than Hitler, and he's Mussolini, and he's the embodiment of pure evil. And he's not, right? And he won't be. And then they're going to think that, like, we did it. Like, we did it. We stopped him. We kept him. Like, they're going to think they actually did something when they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Like, you know, talking about,
he's going to do what we already know he's going to do, and they're going to think it's because they're out there now?
Right, because they're protesting, they're going to think, oh, we kept him in check. And like, no, that's what he was going to do anyway.
Yeah, that's like when you come up with a great joke, and you're like, and an orange unicorn comes out, and another guy in the room goes, make it red, and they go, oh, good thinking. But the thing with the news, too, is I really feel like I know someone in my life closely, one of my mother-in-law, who's very much into the Democratic side, anti-Trump,
anti-Trump. Right.
And I said to Jackie, she's uninformed. I said to my wife, she's uninformed. And my wife goes, no, she's not. She watches the news all the time. And I'm like, well, that's exactly my point, man. And people now, you just got to sift through the news like pulling gold out of a sand sifter and you got to just be overly intelligent about what's true and what's not. It's ridiculous what they buy into.
There's which brings us to another great story. Did you see the Sean Spicer thing yesterday, Stace?
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
What's that?
I thought it was great.
Well, okay. I mean, here's the thing in my mind, right? I think it was bad strategy. That's just me.
I thought it was wonderful strategy. No. Here's, but just to get Pete and everybody, here's what happened. you know, all day long at this big women's march, they're going, oh, this, these are more people than showed up at the inauguration, by far, by far, by far. And the New York Times showed a picture of, here's how many people came to Obama's inauguration, and here's how many people came to Trump's inauguration. Oh, and then someone else, I think it was from like Time Magazine or the New York Times or something, also tweeted out that Trump had taken out the little statue, the bust of Martin Luther King's head. Like, he took it out of the Oval Office. It was there. Nobody touched it at all.
Yeah.
So everybody's up in arms like, oh, my gosh, it's day one, and he got rid of Dr. King.
Well, how could they write that, though?
They just did. And then the bust is still there. And then the guy from the Times, after everybody's losing their mind about it on social media, the guy from the Times or Time Magazine goes, oops, my bad. Some guy, I guess a Secret Service guy, might have been standing in front of it. You know, my bad. So yesterday, Trump's press secretary comes out, and he's just like so wound up. He's like, that part I didn't like. He was so wound up and so like shaky and nervous. He's like, we're putting you on notice. If you guys are going to report fake news, then we're gonna put you on notice, and we're gonna correct you. If you're gonna be adversarial with us, we're gonna be adversarial with you. We did not move the MLK bust. We did not do it, and to report that we did is irresponsible. I mean, like, he was like really wound up. Now, the message was great. The way he delivered it was not good. And then he got into a thing about nobody knows how many people came to Trump's inauguration. Nobody knows. Why? Because the National Park Service doesn't release those kind of numbers. They can't track those kind of numbers. And then in the next breath, he goes, so here's the numbers. Which kind of undercut his whole argument.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I thought it was great. I'm totally down for the Trump administration having an adversarial role with reporters.
I'm not saying so much that, and I'm not saying that they don't need to find different ways to communicate their message. I'm saying the battle he decided to pick was silly, because the mainstream media already looked silly to the vast number of people that support the Trump and Trump administration, because during the primaries and during the general election, they didn't care about rally size. They thought it was indicative of nothing. So to start reporting on crowd sizes now looks completely ridiculous.
That's right? An awesome point. That is an awesome point, because I remember that. I remember Trump would have these giant rallies, and they're like, you know what? Rallies don't equal votes. You know, you can have a big big rally, but it doesn't equal votes. Well, turns out it can.
Yeah.
Well, and the other point is this. Just because you're popular doesn't mean you're correct. Populism, by definition, is what's popular. And sometimes, as we all learned in high school, what's popular is really stupid.
Right. And then, however, there's other times when popular is right. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no... Yeah. It's like, if it's raining and everyone says it's not, then of course you can go, all right, this has now reached giant levels of horseshit. It's raining. I'm going to grab an umbrella.
Well,
and I think that's where America is. We've been told for the last 8 years, it's not raining. It's not raining. It's not raining. And Donald Trump's like, okay, it's raining. Should we like grab umbrellas now? And America's like, yeah. And then people are like, he's a Nazi with his Nazi umbrella sales.
Well, I guess it's better than the nipple umbrella people were carrying yesterday.
That was great. And I don't know how to make this into a tweet, but like, women carrying nipple umbrellas for women's power, women dressed as vaginas for women's powers, women wearing pussy hats, these knit pink caps. Yeah. They're actually kind of adorable. There's
I call
only
them vaginal fedoras.
Right? There's only one thing they left out. I didn't know how to tweet it, but like, okay, we got our nipple umbrellas, we got our pussy hats. Who's going to be the asshole? I guess
the
we're all
boyfriend,
assholes.
The chick's boyfriend that's carrying her nipple umbrella.
Oh, gosh. That was kind of sad to watch all the dudes wearing the, like, I'm with you, sister, and they're putting on the knit pink caps, and like, okay, I get it. I get it.
Well, you know, when you were talking about the Nazi aspect of it, I'm fascinated right now. I'm reading this book called Nothing to Envy, and it's about some people that escaped from North Korea.
Okay.
And they're talking about life there, starting with the first dictator who died already, you know, and then
Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, and then the other day to a few people, and I go, man, this book is fascinating. You have to have a portrait of this guy hanging in your house, and it's the only thing allowed to be hanging on your wall. and because he's the only one that matters. And it comes with a little wooden box that comes with a white cloth in it that you're expected to use only to keep the picture clean. It's government-issued picture. And the police come once a month randomly to check on the picture. And if it's not clean, you go to the labor camps for like years. And I tell that to some people thinking it's so unbelievable. And they go, we're not far from that. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Trump is going to do. He's going to offer the official family portrait. You have to hang it in your home. Yeah.
Besides, Trump's going to go, if they go, sir, we should have a portrait of you in every home, he would literally go, don't they already? I just assumed.
No, but seriously, like the best thing I saw from that march yesterday, and I say best very ironically because it's so hypocritical, was a bunch of people taking American flag print and turning it into hijabs.
That, it's weird. It's like, we're always supposed to make fun of Archie Bunker, right? Archie Bunker's supposed to be the ugly American when he would tell, like, Meathead, if you don't like it, get out of the country. But, like, that hijab thing was the most ridiculous, like, frighteningly stupid. Frighteningly stupid. Like, women in Iran in, like, 1979 had protests, mm-hmm. like, we don't want to wear the hijab. We don't want to do it. And they were silenced by the brutal overlords of, they're Sunnis or Shias or whatever.
Theocracy, either way.
Like, you have to wear this headscarf, this head covering, or we will beat you. We will beat you up. So to have, like, this woman who's like, hey, let's all wear hijabs and march for women's rights is the ultimate in stupid.
Oh, man.
You know, it's like, what do you want to do? We're going to march for women's rights. Yeah. Are you going to wear your hijab? Yeah, because if I don't, my husband's going to beat me. Like, how is that? That's a symbol of oppression. That's a symbol of oppression.
Well, let me ask you.
Well, I actually commented on that, and all I got back was, why do you hate Muslims? I don't hate Muslims. I hate the symbolism of clothing that women are required to wear or maybe get acid thrown in their face being used as a symbol of women's empowerment. That just makes no sense.
Yeah, there was a lot of tweets yesterday that had the theme of like, hey, you guys going to march down by the Saudi embassy? Like, why don't you, if you're marching in D.C., why don't you just continue marching and stop right in front of the Saudi embassy and let those guys know what you think about women's rights? I don't think they did. I don't think they did.
I wanted to ask you both, when the mayor of New York City, de Blasio, when he protests, like he did in New York City, can you guys tell me, is there any angle you can give me that makes that not be anything other than his own personal interest? And because, like, he doesn't have New York City in his best interest when he does that, would you say?
I don't even know what he's protesting. Like, what are these people protesting? Like,
they
nothing has happened.
They lost an election.
Well, I mean, obviously they had to get these permits and they had to make all these arrangements ahead of time. So I think what it was supposed to be was like supposed to be a big yay women. Because like Hillary was supposed to win and then it was going to be yay woman power. We broke the glass ceiling. Let's keep going. That kind of a thing. And then because Donald Trump won, it turned into a protest march. But I honestly don't know what de Blasio's protesting. I really don't.
Well, I don't know what any of them are protesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just thought,
that's like getting booed when you hit the stage as a comic.
A buddy of mine years ago did Evening at the Apollo, you know, because that's like the thing that you want to do as a comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he does Evening at the Apollo and they're like, please welcome, you know, Robert, blah, 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 blah. He takes one step onto the stage. They see he's white and boo, boo. And like, I don't even think he touched the microphone.
Really?
He just kept walking across the stage. But Stacey, you were saying something.
I've already said some of it. He's openly supports gay marriage. You can pee wherever you want to in Trump Tower. Caitlyn Jenner came to the inauguration. He's talked about expanding the earned income tax credit. He's talked about mandatory maternity leave. He has talked about the family-friendly policies that some feminists have been fighting for years. The only thing that maybe might happen, according to the Republican Congress, not even Donald Trump, is they may not put any more federal funds into Planned Parenthood.
Which I'm fine with.
Me too.
Yeah. Like,
because you know what the cool part is?
I'm not going to pay for it. Some idiot protester had a sign like, if we have to pay for our tampons, men have to pay for their razors. I'm like, we do.
We do. Yeah. Like, no one, no,
there's no magic government fairy that just like, here you go, guy.
Well, is there a line I don't know about when they're giving out raises?
I swear.
Well, and then she had the gall and the audacity after complaining about the price of female products to tape a bunch of them to her sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you pay for those?
There was a great protest sign, and Kat Timpf was talking about it last night on Fox. But it's somebody tweeted a photograph of it. Like, their protest sign just said, "I have concerns."
No, I saw a great one too. It said, "Someday I hope to have as many rights as a gun."
Oh yeah, yeah. And then somebody like wrote back, "What? You don't want to be allowed in an airport? You don't want to be able to go to a school? You don't want to be banned in a hospital? You don't want to be able to go?" It was that was
Here's
awesome.
Here's the even better part: you want to be owned?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, I think it's great that these women went out and, you know, they marched and they rallied and they all got together. That's all fantastic. My big beef is they left their garbage everywhere.
Oh my God, that was
terrible.
It drives
me crazy.
Oh man.
We did a joke about it on the flip side. Season one. These people go out and they have a giant protest on Earth Day about climate change, right? They leave behind tons of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just drop their signs wherever they want to, soda bottles, just garbage everywhere. And then, of course, the Tea Party has a rally. Now, the Tea Party, those people are the worst people ever.
Racists.
It's like they had a protest in Yellowstone National Park and, you know, like, leave nothing but footprints. They picked up every scrap of garbage. Yeah. The place is pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those Tea Party people, they're the worst.
Littering is like, and I got to say, because I lived for years in New York City. I owned an apartment, right? I was able to buy it because I lived on 96th on the Upper East Side. And you basically had to just go downtown. Like, two blocks beyond me, it started to turn a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the neighborhood would get a little shoddy. And in these less than a desirable neighborhoods, when I'd walk through them and stuff, the way they litter, it's like, it's ignorant, man. Like, they'd be at a red light, and they open up, and they dump their McDonald's out. And I've gone up to the red light and knock on the window. I'm like, "You dropped this," and they get in my face. And I'm like, "You live here. This is the dumbest." It's just, it blows my mind that people litter. I take it so personal. It's,
yeah.
It should be, you should immediately, if a cop sees you, it should be a bigger deal than it is.
I actually saw, remember the old Chris Rock show on HBO?
Yes.
He had Jesse Jackson on, and he was talking about what they can do with the ghettos and slums and all this stuff. And Jesse Jackson's like, "Well, America needs to, we need more funding for the politics, hobble, hobble. And we need more money for the people to hobble, 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 and some money for the humor." And Chris Rock, "I hear you, man, I hear you. But can't a brother pick up a piece of trash? Can't a brother pick up a piece of trash?" And that's exactly how I feel. Of course it looks like crap. You're littering everywhere.
Yeah, then the minute you see litter, then you go, "Well, they got to pick that thing up anyway, so I may as well put my thing next
right?
to that thing." Yeah.
Now the whole street becomes a garbage can. Well, yeah, the women's march, they'd get a lot more sympathy from me if they would have cleaned up after themselves. And, Stacey, I give myself a huge pat on the back for the things I did not tweet.
I am so proud of you, Michael. I would just like to say this. The idea that they call it a women's march is a complete misnomer.
Oh, really?
That wasn't if you look at the list of partners, okay, on the website, that wasn't a women's march. That was a really upset social justice warrior, far left progressive march because we're still mourning the fact Hillary lost. That's what that was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a big social justice march. Michael Moore, as he struggles to rip newspaper. That was hilarious
to
watch.
That wasn't even the whole newspaper. You know it. There is no way he could one rip through like an entire newspaper.
But it's great.
That was like literally just the front page and he ripped it.
Yeah, he had the front page section, but there was like a false start. You know, if you look at, and I just love it. Like Michael Moore's like, "Trump seizes power." "No, he doesn't." And he goes to dramatically rip like, and then there's like a false start. And then he has to like really bear down and do it.
Oh, but
that was
hilarious. My favorite are also just like you guys said, the Bill de Blasio's and the senators that go out, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris. I mean, isn't there at some point something that just says, hey, if you're a member of the government, maybe you best not protest the government. Like, have a little class.
Oh, there's zero class had. Elizabeth Warren, here's what I want to do. And this is just horribly, like, it's just south of racist, I guess.
What's that?
If not dead on racist. Like, you know, in the college, I forget, maybe it's Duke or one of those college basketball, their fans, they'll always open up the business section of the paper when somebody's trying to make a free throw.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like they're ignoring you.
Right, we're ignoring you by looking at the business section of the paper.
Very clever.
I would love, isn't it right? Yeah. So I'd like to get like a couple hundred people to go to when Elizabeth Warren, who famously claimed to be like 125th, you know, Cherokee or whatever, and whenever she gives a speech, you just do the classic, it would be hilarious.
Do you like, know, up until a point in time, she was actually a registered Republican?
She'll do anything.
And I mean, like, till 1996. I mean, she's been a Republican longer than she's been this, like, rabid progressive leftist.
Yeah, she'll do anything. All right, Pete, you had a question.
Yes. You know, you guys both being more informed than me. When they protest Trump, aside from the women's situation and then how he has his self-business interests also at heart.
Yeah.
The Clinton Foundation, would you say that that was any less having your own business interests at heart and any less probably crooked than what's
oh
the Trump?
Oh, my God, it was worse.
It was much, much bigger. However... and this is where I'll give the Clintons being very smart. Like, Trump has little properties all over the world, right? So he can't really, like, close down a hotel or close down a building. The thing with the Clinton Foundation, like, she took, what was it, like, a third? Was it a third or a fifth of all of her money to run for president was supplied by Saudi Arabia, right? Like, these giant, but it was all going to one place. So... if she was elected president, all she has to do is say, listen, we're going to shut down the foundation. It's just one phone call. Let's shut her down. And then everybody's happy.
But oddly enough, she lost and they shut it down.
Say what?
She lost and they shut down the Clinton Global Initiative.
Well, they shut it down because everybody, that money stopped rolling in because you're paying for that access. You're paying for that, ooh, she likes me. I gave her a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
And now she's not going to be president. So, hey,
makes
can
it
I
even
get a couple?
Shadier.
Oh, yeah. And so it's still, that one, I believe, is still under FBI investigation.
That's what I love about the Trump. Everyone thinks it's so much more than just the man. It's what he represents. It's for the first time ever we have a guy in that's not beholden to anybody. That's so exciting. And if he spends his free time tweeting to try and get the truth out, although the misspellings, there's nothing I can say about that. That's completely... But if he does that instead of golf, then that's his thing, man.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I mean, no one said anything. Obama lived on the golf course. It was driving me nuts.
He said something kind of hokey in his inauguration speech, Trump did.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm just the messenger. And I'm like, that is so, like, super hokey.
Don't try to be that guy. If you were that guy, we wouldn't have voted for you, guy. All right? You're not him. Yeah, that's not what you are.
But in a way, he is. In a way, like, listen... And this is what the left doesn't understand. People like you and I who voted for Trump, if he does some jackhole maneuver, we will turn on him so fast.
Yes.
It'll make your head spin.
Yeah.
Right? We will turn on him bigly. He will do the will of the people.
Everybody who voted for Trump, it's like we're vouching for this guy. So trust me, we're watching him even closer than you are.
That's because we're
going to have to eat crow. Russia and they own Syria, all right?
It's like we invited our buddy to a party, right? And everybody's like, is your buddy cool? And we're like, he's fine. And he's starting to act up, and then you have to take him outside, like, dude, what are you doing? You don't take, no, those are his last two beers. You don't take those.
I'm already predicting 4 years in, he's in over his head, and he does one of these things where, I'm done. I did everything I could. My work, like, you know, just kind of step away where there's still more work to be done. I hope not. I got big aspirations, but as far as him being so pompous, I really feel like it took a man that pompous to get the attention of everybody. And I respect that he never let up on the gas pedal. And I love the two fingers, the thumb and the finger, together when he speaks with the three other fingers up.
Oh, yeah.
That's so make it like New York, okay though.
Sign.
And these people, he's like De Niro eating dinner and Goodfellas. I love it. So, anyway, we shall see.
Something great happened yesterday. Something absolutely great happened yesterday, and no one's really talking about it, so we'll talk about it here on the Loftus Party. There was this fakey little war that the media was drumming up, saying, like, ooh, Trump doesn't get along with the intelligence agencies. Trump doesn't like the intelligence. He's got real issues with them. He's got real issues. And then it was like this little quiet, steady drumbeat of the mainstream media going, he's going to have a real problem. If he can't trust the CIA, he's going to have a real problem. He can't go to war with these people. So yesterday, in the middle of the afternoon, he goes down to the CIA, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's talking to a bunch of people who work there, and he's like, listen, I love you guys.
Right.
I got your back. Nobody loves you more than me, and we're going to go get the bad guys. We are now going to make them pay. And the room's like, yeah! Applause. So instantly, it was hilarious to watch how fast the mainstream media just dropped that story. Okay, I guess we're not going to get any traction with the he hates the CIA, so let's go on to crowd size.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Wow.
You know what's really great? You can't even, like, in this environment, you can't even opt to be not upset.
Yeah.
Like, you can't choose not to be outraged on one side or the other. If you're not wearing a jersey, you're going to get beat up by both sides. Like, I tweeted out last night, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't care about crowd size. This is the dumbest conversation ever.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, the outrage that people levied at me for not being outraged, I've never seen that before in my life.
Oh, that's funny. Now, here's the other thing, and maybe you know about this. Somebody keeps saying that, like, the New York Times showed, like, a Photoshopped picture of the inauguration or a misleading picture, and I don't know what evidence there is of that.
Neither do I, but at this point, I'll just be very blunt, and, you know, I normally try to keep it rather clean, but this is nothing but a big dick measuring contest. That's all this is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you send out angry little Sean Spicer, an angry little man in an angry voice in a bad suit, okay, who goes all stompy foot and gives more numbers that nobody can verify until you sell tickets to the inauguration and you actually have a people counting turnstile when people come in, we should just stop talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the dumbest conversation ever.
Although I find it's interesting that, like, Britt Hume, who I respect Britt Hume as a journalist,
mm-hmm.
he said a little something. He's like, this picture is misleading. Like, I was there when Trump took the oath, and there was a lot more people. So I think what the, like, CNN and they probably just used a photo from earlier in the day before everybody got in there.
Or a different angle or whatever. Again, I find the whole conversation just very tiresome. Can we move on to important stuff? Can we talk a little bit more about the deficit that needs to be cut before Trump should sign a budget? Can we talk a little more about how we're going to dismantle Obamacare? Can we talk a little more about the fact that the climate change page is off the White House website, which I think is freaking awesome? You know, can we talk a little more about some stuff that actually matters? Because this really doesn't.
Well, it's weird. It's like all in the way you frame it, because the thing that's interesting to me is that the media goes to these lengths to delegitimize. It's not about crowd size.
Mm-mm.
Like, I really don't care. I honestly don't care about the actual crowd size.
No.
What I do care about is the New York Times, CNN, and these other media outlets trying to undercut the presidency. That's like, oh, look how unpopular he is. Look how unpopular. Like, you're now going out of your way to undercut the guy.
And
media bias is where I land.
Well, now let's also just take a little common sense to the whole thing. And I know people don't like it when I do this, but a lot of Trump's support was in flyover country. A lot of Obama's support was along the coast. Who had an easier time traveling on a Friday afternoon to see the inauguration of their president? The people who live in Nebraska or the people who live in Virginia?
Well, let's just make it even simpler than that, Stacey. Quite frankly, who would you rather see?
a Beyonce concert or a Lee Greenwood concert.
Yeah, well,
I got no problem. And you know what? Even more so, the less stars that are there, the more I like it, because when stars are on board with you, it's usually not the things that matter most right now in this country. I don't care what they have to say. All the celebrities that come forward.
Oh, yeah.
So and at the end of the day, it is a concert. So there's even that. You know, who's coming for Lee Greenwood? And
that's the tweet that I had yesterday that I thought was a home run. Yeah. An absolute home run tweet. And it didn't, you know.
Yeah, it was like
liberals tell all these performers, if you show up, we'll kill you,
uh-huh.
Right? Like the blind singer, the Andrea Bocelli. He's like, he was going to perform, but then death threats, he said no. So my tweet was, the left says, if you show up, we'll kill you. Then the right goes, yikes, I guess we shouldn't go. And then the left says, look, nobody showed up.
See, that's how I got an applause.
You know what performer that did show up that I thought was great?
Who?
Toby Keith, a lifelong Blue Dog Democrat from Oklahoma, came and played. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
There's no Toby Keiths in Manhattan, is there?
Right?
I don't know. What?
No, there's not.
But I mean, most of those restaurants are like in the heartland.
Oh, yeah. I love this bar. And that's the other thing, and that goes to the Women's March as well. It's like if you took Los Angeles out of the equation, just take L.A. out of the equation, mm-hmm. Donald Trump probably wins the popular vote,
mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like in these big, giant metropolitan areas, New York, Chicago, L.A., those people use those government services more. You've got more people living on the government dime.
Yes.
So then, we should get together in March. And so, of course, they do. And they also you cannot compare Trump's inauguration with Obama's, because that was special. I mean, it was like there wasn't an element to it that, like, yeah, we're pretty cool. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're not racist. We're not bad people. The president's black. Yeah, here we go.
I think we're all proud of that, no matter who, if it's Republican or Democrat. When Obama got in, that was a proud moment for America, man.
Exactly.
It was like the accumulation of everything Martin Luther King dreamed of.
Right. And now I feel like, okay, we did that. We tried it out.
Yep.
Now we're going to go back to business as usual.
If you don't mind. Yeah.
But I mean, here's the other thing that I love. You can't win the popular vote in the presidential election. That's not even a contest. And so I'm getting really sick of them talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
If you win the popular vote in the presidential election, unless you won the electoral vote, what did you win? Nothing.
Right. Now, chances are, and this I had this disagreement with Andrew Apple a long time ago. Chances are, if you get the most votes, you'll also get the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those two things go hand in hand.
Yes, but, they usually do.
God bless the founding fathers for the Electoral College.
Oh, boy.
One of the smartest things they ever did.
Well, to do it any other way puts the states subservient to the federal government, and that was never the intention. Because for all of my lovely, progressive, liberal friends, here's the awesome thing. Right? Federal law is the least restrictive law. So if you want to fund the heck out of Planned Parenthood in a blue state, you can. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, they can have socialized medicine in their state. Go for it.
Yeah.
We all don't want it.
And that's one of the things that I've said before on the TV show. Like, how is Massachusetts doing? Like, mm-hmm. Massachusetts has, like, single payer, whatever, this idyllic healthcare system. If it's that good, people will emulate it.
Yeah.
So let's look at the books. I think it's subsidized to like the tune of like $500 million a year by the federal government. So that's kind of cheating. But like, if somebody can figure it out, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Well, before this ends, I have to ask one question, Mike, to you that I wanted to ask before I left. In a nutshell, my wife is at a library with my daughter during the inauguration, and the TV's on in the background with no volume. There's another woman there. My wife voted for Trump, and my wife said that she goes, oh, is the inauguration on? And the woman goes, yep, there's nothing we can do about it now. My wife goes, and I didn't say anything, but I'm really tired of not being able to say that I did vote for him, and I'm also tired of people just assuming that you didn't vote for him. And my question to you, Mike, with your show here and you, Stace, and everything you guys believe in here, instinctually, when do you feel we can pop our heads out of the ground and start to tell people we did vote for Trump? When will people start to do that?
I don't think we can.
Well, Michael hasn't been shy about it since day one.
No, I know, but Mike
I've bitten my tongue at work.
It's like the Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz when the witch comes out and goes, come out! Come out! You can come out now!
It's true, but like I had this conversation with my wife. It's like you cannot be happy about it. You have to put on this thing like, wow, I guess we're in for it. You know, like this kind of this fakey pseudo disappointed look.
Yeah.
And there was some like.
I just live in a totally different world.
You really do.
Yeah, you guys are both in a big blue dot. I mean, if you look at the measures of how overwhelmingly Hillary Clinton won New York and L.A., it's insane. If I go to my regular bar on Friday night, which I did, it was packed with people watching the inauguration and cheering.
Oh, that's awesome. Because here it's like invasion of the body snatchers.
And then they give me a bunch of shit because they know I didn't vote for him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm jealous because in Los Angeles, my wife, and maybe I'm talking out of school here, where my kids go to school, the guy who teaches social studies is like, we're going to watch the inauguration. We're going to watch, you know, the class is going to watch the president get sworn in. And there was parents who were like, I don't want to send my kid to school that day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, like, because watching the peaceful transfer of power, and it absolutely was. The inauguration went off without a hitch, which is the hallmark of our democracy or republic.
Yeah.
That would be a bad thing for them to see. What?
That's setting a worse example for your kid.
Exactly. We didn't get our way, so let's not look.
Yeah. Look at your president. Look at the class and dignity Obama handed over the baton with.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you follow his lead, folks?
Now, I have to say, Michelle made some really awful faces.
Oh, yeah. She was frowny. She was frowny-faced McGee.
Yeah. I mean, she was handed a gift in what looked like a Tiffany's box. It was that aqua blue. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And she had the crappiest look on her face. I'm like, even if I don't like that woman, if she hands me something from Tiffany's, I'm probably going to smile.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. And it's like, really, you're basically saying you broke it so bad that the guy who used to host a game show has got to take it over.
Well, there's a great saying going around social media right now regarding yesterday's march.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Trump got more women off their butts to move than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Trump got more fat women to walk in one day than Michelle Obama did in 8 years. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That was pretty funny.
Okay. Well, we're gonna bring this puppy home with some Michaeltopias. Now here's how you probably don't have any ready, Pete.
All right.
But maybe you will as we go. In Michaeltopia, we have a different set of rules. See, like the world we live in, there's some crazy BS rules that don't make a lot of sense. But in Michaeltopia, there's a different set of rules, and everything makes sense.
All right.
Example, in Michaeltopia, if you have a well-organized, peaceful protest and a giant march, you have to clean up after yourself. If you don't clean up, you're not allowed to march again. There you go. That's my Michaeltopia. Stacey, you got one?
In Michaeltopia, if I'm not upset about something, that's okay. You don't get to yell at me for not being upset.
Yeah, in Michaeltopia, there's no moral obligation to be upset. I understand that you're upset, but if I'm not right there with you, don't be upset with me.
Exactly.
All righty. You got one?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go.
In Michaeltopia, for me, you are, as an American citizen, allowed to know exactly what hair product your president is putting in his hair, in case you
I think he's just using like old school hairspray.
I even watched him walk away and it still didn't move. I'd like to know. I know they can't endorse, but like, wouldn't you love to know Obama what toothpaste he used? What was his shampoo? Like, you know, just to know he was a perk guy. Who knows?
I don't know.
I think the hair was simplified on Inauguration Day. It looked a lot calmer than it has traditionally. I think he's done something different.
Yeah, I don't know, but I would like to know. I bet it's some like low end, like super
maybe Aquanet
or yeah, Rain Dance. I don't know.
But
what
do you think
is.
He just does a bar of Dove soap, like on the body? I don't know. That's very odd. All right. Anyway, bro,
I bet he moisturizes. I got one more.
Thank you for having me.
I got one more. In Michaeltopia, if you feel you have to burn things and beat people up because you are morally obligated to beat people up because they are less than you, you are the fascist. It is unbelievable. These kids on Inauguration Day, they're going to go beat people up because they're saying you're a fascist. And they're dressed in black hoods and black masks and punching people in the head and strangling people like, you're the fascist. It drives
me
crazy.
In Michaeltopia, we have a good educational system, so those kids would have actually learned what a fascist is. They just say it. They don't know what it means.
Yes, they don't know what fascism is. I don't think they really know who Hitler was. They don't know that we live in a constitutional republic. They're just morons who like setting trash cans on fire.
I don't even think they know there's a C in it.
All right, so do me a favor and go to theloftusparty.com. You got to check out all the great... have you been there yet?
No.
Oh, dude, we got these insanely cool blogs. There's merchandise. There's links to clips of the TV show. We got more new episodes of The Flip Side coming out soon. Stacy writes a ton of great articles. So, hey, have a great week, everybody. We have only just begun. This is like day one of the Trump administration. Cue like the Darth Vader theme.